Well, I tell you what, folks, in the last few years, when you look at baits, you think about back with the buzz bait. You think about that was a big killer deal. You think about the Senko. That was a big killer deal. Think about, you know, even back to Sluggo, some of those, Pop R, some of those kind of things. But Andre Moore is with me, and Andre, I got to tell you, Sweet Beaver has got a name all to itself as well.
Yeah, it does. It's it's become real popular in the last couple of years, and I'm just real fortunate that people actually went out and tried my bait. I mean, there's a lot of people that come up with inventions and stuff like that, and you know, a lot of people went out and tried my bait and caught a lot of fish on it, and it's become the staple flipping bait for basically the entire country.
Well, I'm not going to go down a path that, okay, reaction innovation is number one, but I'm not going to go down this path. We talk about Sweet Beaver, and that's the one that I actually think is the best bait you make. But you make a ton of bait. So you go out and look at your list of products that you make, all with great names, by the way, and great color names. But it's something that you've got the right bait, it seems like, for the right approach for the different techniques that you want to use.
Yeah, I've got a little bit different theories about tackle design than I guess pretty much everyone else. I mean, I go about thinking I've got a situation that I don't feel like I have the proper bait for, or it's not properly going to fit the hook size that I want to be doing. I mean, because a lot of baits, you think, oh man, that would work really great for this, for flipping or whatever, but then when you get it, you can't put a big enough hook in it, or, you know, vice versa, or it's too thick for the hook you want to put in it. So I basically try and design a bait around my terminal tackle and think about what the average angler is going to be using it for. And basically, I try to design baits I think that I'm going to be able to use to win tournaments. So I just kind of go from there.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, whenever you build a bait like the Senko or a Buzz bait, everybody copies it. In this industry in particular, there's probably more of that happens than any place I've ever seen. You know, patents are really hard to keep, to manage, to defend, some of those kind of things. The Sweet Beaver, though, however, you know, you look at it and it's come into the market, a lot of creature baits right afterwards, a lot of similarities, some of that kind of stuff. But when you designed yours, there's something special about it.
Yeah, I mean, the overall design was very unique to begin with, but also I spent a lot of time messing around with different formulations of plastic and amount of salt I put in there, because depending on how much salt you actually put in the plastic depends on how the plastic reacts and how the bait works. So, I mean, there's a lot more R&D that goes into these baits than I pretty much say to any other soft plastic company, because I test stuff for probably almost a year before I put it on the market.
I got to go down the thing with you, the idea of the naming scheme. You got to have somebody that kind of sits in the corner, has got some really goofy looking eyes and stuff, kind of sitting over in the corner coming up with these names. Or are these all yours?
No, I come up with about 99% of the names. I'm just, you know, kind of crazy, and I like to have a good time, you know. I mean, I started this business, I wanted it to be able to basically support my tournament fishing, but also, you know, didn't want it to be a drag. I wanted to make people laugh, have a good time, and, you know, a lot of this fishing stuff is so boring and mundane that it's, you know, it's the same old thing year after year, and I just wanted something different, you know, something that people would remember, and you know, I think I've done that, trying to have a good time with it.
Well, but you know, being a little bit whack helps. I mean, it really does. And you know, I think one thing, people know you, they know you're a great fisherman, they know you've had good fishermen on your staff for a long, long time. But like you said earlier, there's certain baits that you make that work everywhere. They don't just work in one part of the country like a lot of baits do. You take a Sweet Beaver or the Smalley Beaver, and you can go just about anywhere in the country and catch fish on it.
Oh, yeah, there's not a tournament that you can go fish anywhere where, I mean, I wouldn't have a beaver or a Smalley Beaver tied on. I mean, it's basically, you know, fish eat crawdads all around the country, and they eat that bait. And it mimics so many other fish as well besides crawfish. It's a, you know, bluegill pattern or, you know, any kind of a, you know, bulky short bait that, I mean, there's nowhere that you can't use it.
Well, you know, let's talk about some of the other baits. Okay, we got the Sweet Beaver covered pretty well, and, you know, that's one of my favorites. But tell me about some of the other ones, you know, some of the other baits that people may not know about.
Well, I got a brand new bait coming out this year. It's called a Skinny Dipper, and it's kind of like a swim bait, but it not really. It's more of a user-friendly swim bait style of lure that you can fish in a variety of different ways, and I'm really, really excited about it. I think it's going to be probably my new thing. That's going to, you know, be like the new Beaver, because I mean, just in my testing and what I've done with it, I mean, I've actually just got back from an around the world trip. I was gone for 2 months, and I went to 7 different countries and caught 50 different species of fish on it. I mean, besides the bass fishing I've done with it here. And, I mean, it's just awesome. You can just do so much with it. You can Texas rig it, either fish it weightless or with a weighted hook. You can Carolina rig it. You can flip it. You can put it on a jig head. It doesn't really seem to matter. The fish just kill this thing, and it doesn't matter what it is. If it eats other fish, it bites it, and it's really cool. I'm really excited.
Now, when are you going to break that out to stores, or is it now?
It's kind of a limited thing right now. I mean, some stores have it. We're just trying to build up production on it. As soon as it seems like we get them in, they're already sold out. So it's kind of slow getting out there because we're selling them out so fast. But, it's gonna be out pretty good here in the next month. And I'm really excited. I think a lot of anglers are going to catch a lot of fish on them. And it's going to be a new, different way. People are going to be able to look at situations where they typically would swim a jig, like in some shallow gator grass like they do here in Alabama, but throw this instead. I've gone out fishing with a few of my friends that are real good jig swimmers, and I've absolutely blistered them with it, and they didn't think that they thought swimming a jig was the answer to everything until I got in the boat with my skinny dipper. But it's just one of those things. You show fish something a little different, and a lot of people already know what the fish will be, what kind of cover they'll be in. It's just showing them something a little different. You get a lot more bites.
I happen to know one of those jig swimmers you talked about, Matt Heron, who also fishes for you. And, you probably got to do a lot of convincing with him. But if you catch three or four more fish than him, guaranteed he's going to start looking at what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, Matt. He was one of the guys I kind of blistered with it. I did that up at Lake of the Ozarks when he thought he could swim a jig on the docks, and I caught about 30 more fish than he did. It's just, people get set in their ways, and you have to show them sometimes that, things change. But it's going to be really cool. I'm always coming up with new baits, and we've got our new hook out now. It's our new BMF flipping hook, which I spent a lot of time developing, and it's got a welded eye, so your braided line won't slip out the side, and a lot of features to it that a lot of the manufacturers thought it would be too expensive to sell or too hard. It wasn't really necessary, but the pro anglers, they want that stuff, and people are willing to spend a little bit more money. But it is, I feel like the best flipping hook out there. And we've got our new screwed up bullet, which is basically a plastic screw on head that goes in front of surface frog type lures and stuff like that. Helps it come through cover a lot better, but doesn't add any weight to the lure and increases your hookup ratio substantially. And just always got stuff on the drawing board and stuff coming out. I really enjoy designing lures and coming up with new stuff. And, I think my customer base really appreciates that, something new, something different that's just not a knockoff of something else.
Well, you must be a pretty good lure in yourself because you're getting married here pretty quick. And to an Australian lady who we see on TV a lot, Kim has got to be excited about that. And now she's in the fishing business. You're with her in the fishing business. You both are really good anglers. It's going to be kind of a neat relationship here. When are you getting married?
We're thinking, we've been trying to think about doing the nice, proper wedding, but we might just slip off to Vegas sometime in April or whenever we get a little bit of a break. But it's been kind of difficult with trying to organize the families from different countries and everything else. But no, we have a ball. Like I said, I was on this around the world trip, and we went to Africa, and she went hunting over there. And I've been kind of doing a lot of filming lately. I'm kind of starting to work on a little bit of a show with her, and got her shooting a Cape Buffalo over there, which is really cool. I mean, there's not a lot of people that say their fiance went to Africa and shot a Cape Buffalo. And I filmed it, and then took off and went over to Australia and went deep jigging for these Samson fish. And they're kind of like an amberjack we have here, but they were between 70 and 130 pounds. And just absolute tackle busters. I mean, I've never seen any fishing this destructive in my life. The captain, we were on the boat, he specializes in this type of fishing, and he reckons that he destroys about $300,000 of tackle on his boat a year with all the anglers on board. And it's real special being able to do stuff with her like that. I'd never thought I'd find a woman that I could, go around the world and fish, and she'd enjoy it as much as I did. So I feel real lucky.
Well, Andre, one of the coolest companies in the planet right now and one of the coolest guys out there fishing. I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Hey, love being on the show, and just want to tell all my supporters, keep it up, and we'll be bringing you new stuff all the time. And say hi to Jay for me. I haven't got to see him around the show here, but he's a funny guy.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Van Radio.